welcome to our verse-by-verse journey through Romans. Of all the books of the Bible, none carries the potential of spiritual growth like Paul's letter to the believers in Rome. Throughout history, Romans has influenced some of the most significant names in the Christian church toward reformation, revival, and awakenings. The Christian church today needs to awaken to the powerful truths found in Romans. Whether you've been in the faith for your entire life or you're brand new to Christianity, Romans has something for each of us to transform and revitalize our faith. So, grab a cup of coffee, open your Bible to the book of Romans as we grow together in this study, Romans, the Gospel of God.
Good morning, church. It's a blessed day, amen? Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, Romans 6, as we continue our study through the book of Romans. I've entitled this series, The Gospel of God. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come thankful for this opportunity, whether those that are here personally or those that are watching online or those that will watch this later. Lord, I pray, Lord, that our hearts, our minds, our spirit would be attentive to your word, that we would be open to your spirit moving and speaking to us. That, Lord, we all have stuff, we all have issues, we all have things, we have cares and worries and fears and anxieties and all kinds of things, pains and suffering and want and all that stuff. We all have something, Lord. But when we come to a time like this, I believe you would call us to trust you enough to lay those things aside just for the brief time of this time of worship and the word. And so I pray, Lord, for all of us as we open this time up, especially today, as we're speaking on a topic that I think a great many people need to hear. I pray, Lord, for a touch. I pray for, you know, you lead, Lord, that you would speak through me, Lord. That this would be your word spoken to your people by your spirit. Lord, we thank you for this day. We pray for your blessing over it, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as modern Americans, we're about 150 years removed from the ugliness of slavery that once divided this nation. Now, this darkness was not isolated to us. There's a movement around, or seems to be a sense around, that only slavery only happened in the U.S. No, it didn't. Matter of fact, there's not a nation on earth that hasn't had to deal with the ugliness and the in many ways horrors of slavery. Today, there is still the buying and selling of humans. Even in our own country, women and children are being trafficked into horrible situations. I'm thankful for the Trump administration, who seems to be determined to put an end to that. And we should be praying and doing everything in our power to help with that process. Most of us, thankfully, have little or no experience with that, or true slavery of any kind. And we should be thankful for that. Paul this morning is going to speak about a different kind of slavery. We are all slaves. That's what we're going to learn today. We are all slaves. You're either a slave of sin or a slave of righteousness. And the way I understand the scriptures, you choose which it is. In the previous section, Paul encouraged us to reckon ourselves dead to sin. That means to consider yourself as dead, incapable of responding to sin. The sad reality is that we still let sin have its way with us more often than we should. But we are no longer slaves of sin, which means we have a choice. By the freedom that God gave us through a faith in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we have the power to say no to sin. We're no longer slaves. Before we were saved, we were literal slaves of sin. Sin did whatever it wanted in our lives. Now, you can say, oh, no, not me, Pastor. Yeah, even you. All of us. Chapter 5, Paul said, where sin increased, grace abounds the more. That the more sin there was, the more grace God manifested in the world. Now, he followed that thought with the rhetorical question that since grace abounds, then maybe it's okay that sin abounds, you know, so that more grace can abound. And Paul said, no, certainly not. Sin no longer has authority over our lives. And we should say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. It doesn't have authority. Doesn't mean it doesn't show up occasionally, right? Through faith, by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, we have the power to say no to sin. And though Paul seems to have said that fairly clearly in the previous text, he's going to reinforce it here again this morning. We're in Romans 6. We're going to start in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. If we're under grace, then maybe sin doesn't matter that much. That's kind of the thought that he's trying to express. You know, if we're free from the penalty of sin, then sin isn't really the problem, isn't really a problem that we need to get all stressed and freaked out about. It's not uncommon for people who subscribe to that particular mindset to say something like, I'm a child of God, therefore I am free, and I'm covered by grace. God will forgive me. So if I sin, it's no big deal. I'll just go to God and he'll forgive me. One of the problems with that kind of thinking is it leads to more and more sin. Because if you can be okay with sin, if you can condone sin in your heart and say it's not really that big of a deal, then it's not really that big of a deal to do it again and again and again. And we are, as creatures, we are never satisfied with where we were before. We always got to go a little bit further, a little bit more wicked and evil. It is human nature. And so for those that say, oh, it's no big deal, God will forgive me. Sure, if you repent, he will forgive you. But it's not okay. It's not okay. So Paul employs a metaphor here to make his point, and his metaphor is slavery. Verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that through you, though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Now, this would have gotten the attention of Paul's audience. Remember, he's writing to the church in Rome. And Rome was pretty big on slaves. It's estimated at the time that Paul was writing that at least one-third of the population of Rome were slaves. And then if you factor in the slaves that had been freed and whatnot, it could have been over half of the population were either slaves or had been slaves in their life. That means every other person that you can imagine in a church of any size, you could divide the room half and half, had been slaves or were slaves at that time. One of the universal realities of slavery is the aspect of obedience. If you're a slave, what is expected of you? Obedience. What kind of obedience? Absolute obedience. And for a true slave to not obey your master could have harsh, severe, even fatal consequences. Slaves obeyed. Now, while the manifestation of slavery for us is different, that real slavery still exists in the world. There are places in the world today where people are buying and selling humans, and they're putting them into whatever form of slavery is existing in the world. And it's not a small amount. It's a lot. A lot of people are in slavery today. While that's true, and our understanding of slavery, typically, as you know, in Southern California, Murrieta, California, is very unlikely that we've ever been in actual contact with someone who has any real idea what slavery is, what it means to be a master of a slave and to be a slave under a master in the context that Paul is referring to, in the reality he's referring to. Now, but we have to recognize that there is a different form of slavery that Paul is alluding to here. The reality that many in this room watching online are slaves. They're enslaved to something. They could be enslaved to work or success or health or influence. They could be to habit, some habit, either legal or illegal. It could be something that we might not even recognize or acknowledge as slavery. Very common. We don't see it as slavery. And yet it owns us. And it demands obedience from us. An angry person is a slave to their emotions. Not just an angry person, that includes worriers and fearful and anxious people. Whatever that emotion is that seems to control you, you are a slave to that emotion. And it's demanding obedience. And that obedience is that when that emotion rises up, you are to respond a certain way. And too often, we're doing it. Could be a slave of food or drink or entertainment, of TikTok, who knows what else. Just slaves, anything can enslave us if we're not careful. Let's read verse 16 again. We'll talk about it. Verse 16 says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness." All of humanity can be divided by that which we obey. Now he's divided up into two particular categories. We're either slaves of sin, which leads to or produces or generates the result of death. Death is not good. Anybody recognize death is not good? Or slaves to obedience to God leading to righteousness. Now, righteousness is rightness. If it's a righteousness of God, it is good because God is good. So you have a choice. You're either a slave of sin leading to death, or you're a slave of righteousness leading to good, to life. There's no gray area. People love to say that. Oh, you know, I don't live in the extremes. I live in the middle somewhere. No, you don't. I promise you, no, you don't. You may say you do, but I promise you, you don't. God doesn't have gray areas. He's pretty clear on stuff. The only gray area is like in your brain. Being a slave to God leads to life. to good, to the good things of God. Being a slave to sin leads to death, both physical and spiritual. Jesus had a confrontation with the self-righteous Jews of his time. In John 8:31 to 34, it says this: "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin.'" We have never been a slave to anyone. Do they not know their own history? They were slaves to the Egyptians. They were slaves to the Babylonians. And in that very moment, there were a ton of Jews who were slaves to the Romans. But Jesus was talking about a much bigger issue, being a slave of sin. Here's one of those realities of human nature. It is our nature to declare freedom from the prison of our own sin. Whatever your sin is, we will stand and we will proclaim, "I am not a slave, I am free." While your chains are wrapped around your legs and your neck and it's holding you down, "I am free." And the deeper you are into that sin, the louder you'll proclaim it. The more bombastic you'll be about your freedom and say, "I am free." And you won't listen to anyone. How many times have you heard somebody, you know, say, "Hey, brother, sister, you have a problem, blah, blah, blah." "No, I don't. You don't know what you're talking about." Well, maybe not. Instead of slaves to sin, Christ's followers are slaves to Christ through obedience. The key is always going to be obedience. Will you obey? You said it. You know, slaves of sin, being a slave to sin brings death, but slavery to Christ is what brings true freedom. That's one of those radical concepts that don't, on the surface, it doesn't make sense. How can I be a slave to Christ and still be free? Because that's the only way to freedom, only way to true freedom. True faith is not chained by rules and regulations. Very often, that's one of the things that Paul regularly had to deal with. You know, those religious people, Jesus dealt with them too, the religious people that say, "You got to do X, Y, and Z, then you're right with God." And Paul kept saying, no, it's about faith. It's about faith. Believe, and you'll be free. Yet we have a master. If we are Christ's followers, we have a master. And our master is Christ Jesus. And I make a choice. I want to be close to the master. I know that's where I'm going to experience the greatest freedom, is in my proximity to the master. Kelly and I are associated with an organization called Patriotic Service Dogs. And they train service dogs for veterans and first responders who are suffering with PTSD. If you watch these dogs work with their handlers, it's breathtaking. It is absolutely amazing to see them work. They seem to be having a great time. Those dogs, when they are working, they love their handler, and you sense this great sense of this bond between the two of them, and they move as one, and sometimes they're doing things with very little communication signaling going on, and master and dog or handler and dog are bam right there. It's amazing to watch. It's fun to watch. These dogs seem to find their highest purpose in being with their handler and doing everything their handler says, just doing it without having to be, disciplined or given correction to. They want to do it. Brothers and sisters, the freedom that we seek is found in absolute obedience to God. If you want to experience the fullness of this life, experience the fullness of the grace that God promises us, it's not going to be found in your will. It's not going to be found in you doing what you want to do. It's going to be found in you in absolute lockstep with Jesus Christ. If you walk with him in absolute surrender and obedience, there is where freedom comes from. There is where purpose is found. There is where joy is experienced. The purpose that we long for, all of us long for, we sense that we're here not just to exist, not just to burn up oxygen, but to be. We have a reason for being here. That reason is Jesus. And we experience that purpose through obedience. 17 and 18. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. If you're a Christ follower, you were a slave of sin. Not maybe, not somewhat. You were a slave of sin. You were chained to sin, and there was nothing you could do about it. That's the thing. One of the things we have to understand, that we sometimes we have this idea that I am somebody and I can do some things and I can whatever. And God says to us, no, you can't. If you will only understand that it's only through surrender to God and recognizing that through faith in Jesus Christ, that is the only way to be free. We keep trying to, save ourselves, to free ourselves. I'm just going to work harder at it. I'm going to sin less tomorrow than I did today. We try to force ourselves to be something, and God says, okay, go ahead and try. And when you fail, because you will, come back to me and we'll try again by faith through obedience. You're no longer a slave. If you're a Christ follower, you're not a slave. You can say no to sin. But here's the problem. We're not always ready to say no. Sometimes, through faith, we become Christ followers. God opens up that prison, and out we walk. That door closes behind us, never to be opened again. And then we reach back, and we grab a hold of the bars. And we just stay there. We just keep doing it. We keep letting sin have its way with us. Even though we're free, we'll just keep standing outside the cell and letting sin win. You don't have to. Paul says here, you obeyed from the heart. In the New Living Translation, it says wholeheartedly. And that is a beautiful picture. That's what God is looking for. He wants your whole heart. And that means we stop being about Rick. It stops being about me and what I want and turns around and it's about what God wants. Because God wants, what does God want from Rick? He wants good from Rick, the best that I'm able, but he wants to lead me to good. And if I just really surrender myself to that and realize that Rick is incapable of finding good apart from God, and I can wander around for my entire life and never actually reach it, if I'll just yield myself, God will take me right to it. He'll just lead me right to good if I'll just let him. Jesus confronted the religious Jews about their, because their obedience did not come from the heart in Matthew 15, verse 8. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He's quoting from Isaiah 29:13. And what he's saying here is that, okay, they're saying the right things. They're doing the religious part. They're doing that part on the outside that looks very spiritual, very holy, very godly, but their heart still hanging on to that prison cell. And just, they're doing it out of some sense of, who knows why they're doing it? Pride, maybe? Arrogance? Who knows why they're doing it? But whatever reason they're doing it, it's not because they love God. It's not because they want Him to rule and reign in their hearts. Listen, strict obedience to rules and regulations is not the obedience that God is looking for. God wants our heart before our obedience. He wants us to love Him and desire Him and to desire to serve Him before we obey. Because if we don't, our obedience is just religious exercise or ritual or duty, and it's not good. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. If you're going to do what pleases God, it's got to come from the heart. And it's got to be a heart that loves God and wants to love Him. We're either going to be slaves of sin or slaves to righteousness. One leads to death and the other leads to life, eternal life. Verse 19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Paul would rather speak to them as mature believers. I want to speak to you about the deep things of life, but your flesh is weak. Paul is calling us to a radical faith. Just believe God. Love God. Our dog, Emma, she's a pretty good puppy. At 4 months, she's learned a lot, but not enough that we would consider letting her go off the leash. Not a chance. As she grows and matures, she will be trained to obey like those dogs that we see regularly at that patriotic service dog. They're phenomenal. And they're just so amazing to watch. She'll get like that. It's going to take time. And eventually she will obey. And she won't do it because we're forcing her to. She'll do it because she wants to. Only then will she be trusted to be free. True freedom in the Christian life comes through obedience. The obedience of a slave to righteousness. I know where this leads. I know that obedience leads me to God's good, and I want that. Right now, Emma cannot be trusted to make good choices with her life. Not even close. The question is, can you be trusted to make good choices with your life? Can God trust you to do what is good and right? Can He trust you to obey without having to make corrections along the way? Only within Christianity is freedom experienced through being a slave to God. Verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. That's kind of an odd phrase. But what it means is before you were saved, you were a slave of sin. We all were. While you're a slave of sin, you were not expected to do the right thing. God didn't expect you to do what was right. A slave of sin, what does a slave of sin do? Sin. That's all they do. That's all they can do. It's interesting how often we as believers feel that unbelievers should do what is right. Why would they do that? Why would you expect an unbeliever to do what is right? They're a slave of sin. We might want them to. We might pass laws to try to make them do what's right, but we shouldn't expect it. What should we try to do? We should try to get them on the right side. We should try to help them become, stop being a slave of sin and become a slave of God, a slave of righteousness. Don't expect unbelievers to do what is right. It's not fair. They can't. They're slaves. Verse 21. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. You know, prior to coming to Christ, everything in our life was leading to shame and death. Yeah, it was interesting. You know, I was saved at 40, so there's enough of my life as an unbeliever to actually remember, you know, that change and that transition. I can remember, you know, I wasn't a bad guy, but, you know, I was an unbeliever and I did unbeliever things, but it wasn't until I was saved that I realized some of the things I was doing were shameful. I should have been ashamed of them while I was doing them, but I wasn't. Why? Because they weren't shameful to an unbeliever. It was natural to do those things. The life of slavery to Christ results not just in freedom, but life. And not just life, abundant life. And not just abundant life, eternal life. Comes with sanctification, this process that God takes us through, that every single day we walk with Him, we become a little bit better. A little bit better, a little bit more like Christ. And that the things that we were slave to, hanging on to the bars of that prison, we're learning to let go. And not just to let go, but not go back there again, to stay away from it. We get a little bit better. We learn to walk with Jesus a little bit more every single day. We learn to obey more quickly. We learn, we grow in our knowledge of God, our love of God, our desire to be with Him more and more. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, one of the things that we have to grab a hold of here. We hear a verse like that, all the wages of sin is death. We automatically think of physical death, the end of life. That's not what's being referred to here. Every time we sin, something dies, at least a little bit. Every time. Every time, it could be our conscience, it could be our love, it could be any number of things. Every time we sin, something dies a little bit. The problem is that we probably don't notice that death. We don't recognize it. We don't see it. But then we sin again, something dies a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. And eventually, that death begins to stink. And it starts to ruin your life. For those who are slaves of sin, sin is their master. The only thing it's leading them towards, the only thing it's producing is death. Death of relationships, death of reputation, death of everything. Everything that's good in someone's life. The longer they walk in sin, the more death is apparent. It's all there can be. But it says, the gift of God is the salvation. That's the gift. You know, the gift that we receive from God through faith in Jesus Christ is salvation. We are saved. The prison door is open and we are dragged out of there, maybe screaming and kicking, but we're dragged out of that prison cell. That prison door is closed and locked forever. That's a gift. It's not earned. Because if we hadn't done something, we would have stayed in that prison cell for our entire life and then paid the eternal consequence for that. It's not by good works. It's not by sinning less. It's not because you became a better person and God says, okay, yeah, you're good enough for me to save you. No, God said, you will never be good enough. So I'm just going to save you. God didn't save you. You couldn't be saved at all. It's all about grace. The unmerited favor of God to the undeserving. And if you're saved here today, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a Christ follower, then you are that undeserving person who God poured out his unmerited favor upon, and he saved you. And as slaves of Christ, and here's the thing, the more we get to understand the reality that we have been delivered from that prison cell of death and sin, the more we should desire to walk with the God who would save us because for no other reason than because he loves us. Saw no value in us that made us worthy of salvation. He just loves us. When we know that, we should be more and more willing to walk with him in faith and obedience. As slaves of Christ, we are rewarded for faith. We're paid with life. God breathes life into us, both from a spiritual standpoint, and he brings life to our life. Does that in different ways. In 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope." That's where the concept of born again comes from. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to," we've been saved out of the bondage to sin, slavery to sin, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Your inheritance, reserved in heaven. You know what that means? It's there right now, and no one can take it away from you. It says, who, meaning believers, are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we're just waiting. We're waiting for the payday, you know, the ultimate payday, but it's coming. Listen, God created us to be free. Freedom is a choice that we make. God gives us the faith that we need to believe. If we believe, if we choose to walk with him, we are delivered. First, we choose to receive God's gift of salvation. You got to believe. You've got to be saved through faith. Second, we choose to be dead to sin. Bible says when he pulled you out of that prison cell of death and sin, you've got to choose to leave, to let go of all of that stuff. And third, we must choose to obey God. It's through that radical obedience that we are the freest. There will be a day when we can allow Emma to be free. If you see her now, she's always on a leash, always. And she will be on a leash until we're satisfied that she doesn't need it anymore. But there'll be a day when she can be free. And because of the relationship that she has with us, she's going to stay right there with us. Because she'll want to. She'll know that's where her purpose is found. That's where her greatest sense of joy and peace and everything that she wants will be found in that place. And as my faith grows, as your faith grows, we will learn to obey Christ more quickly and more completely. And as we do that, we'll be walking closer to him, with him, every single day. Not because we have to, because we have a choice. We don't have to. But we're going to realize that's where we want to be. Just as Emma will choose someday to be right there, to stay right there. The greatest freedom that we will experience is to walk in perfect step with Jesus. Because that's where the fullness of joy. We're going to read that verse in a minute. And we're going to do it because I want to be right where Jesus is. I want to walk right where Jesus walks. I want to go excuse me, where Jesus is going, because I know with him is where real life is. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. You, God, will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. How long is forevermore? Like, it's like forever and more. That's my best interpretation of that. I don't know about you. I want that. I want more of Jesus. You know, not because he's making me do something that I don't want to do. He's making me do something that is good for me. I was talking to Andy earlier, and Laura, she's still recovering from her shoulder surgery, and the doctors are telling her, you got to do these things. They're not doing it to torture her and make her look miserable. They're doing it because if you do these things, you're going to heal faster. And you get to be able to go back to whatever is a better life because she got the surgery because there was a problem. The same thing is true for us. God knows what's wrong with you. And if you don't agree with him, you argue with God about what's wrong with you, you're just going to make your misery go longer and longer and longer. And then when he does try to do the work and you fight him, okay, you're just going to just drag the suffering on. You don't have to do that. The key to freedom, the freedom that our hearts crave, is found in obedience. In 1 Samuel 15:22, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Obey God with your whole being. And brothers and sisters, listen, none of us are doing that perfectly. None of us are there yet. But every day we ought to be getting a little bit closer. We ought to be doing a little bit better. And we should learn not to do it out of some religious duty or ritual or anything, obligation, whatever it might be. We should do it with a heart of love, gratitude. What did God do for me? And what should be my response to him? He asked for obedience, an obedience that leads to life, that leads to good, that leads to him. Okay, let's do that. God knows you aren't going to do it perfectly. Doesn't matter. That does not matter. God is not calling for perfection. He's calling for better. Do better. Give God everything, and then he will give you what you need to obey him. Because right now, you don't have it. Oh, I'm going to obey Jesus perfectly tomorrow. No, shut up. No, you're not. Give him your best, and he'll give you everything you need for tomorrow to obey him. If you're not sure how to obey him, get into the book, because he tells us a lot about what he's looking for in here. And if that doesn't help you, then spend time with people who are doing it, who are chasing after God, seeking him with their whole heart, mind, and strength. The ones that are doing it better than you are, find them. That's why God draws us together into the church, because there's people around us that are doing things in the church that they're doing it better than we are. Get to know them. Draw close to them. Allow them to help you. And as you do that, you will experience a growing sense of freedom. Here's the thing. We so often will say, if I say to you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how free are you? You give me some number. The problem is you don't really know what that number is, because there's things inside of you that you're slaves of. You don't even know you're a slave of it. God says, you seek me, I will set you free. Get to know me better and better, and I will set you free. And you'll get more and more free the more you walk with Jesus. Love God, obey God, and God will set you free. Amen? Yes. Heavenly Father, we come thankful for this day. And we're thankful, Lord God, that you, if we're here as believers and watching as believers, then we come as a freed people. And Lord, as freed people, you would call us to walk in our freedom. And to do that, The only way to do that is through obedience to you, absolute surrender and obedience to you. And so often, Lord, we struggle with that because we're not even certain what that means all the time. But Lord, if we will give you as much of ourselves as we're capable of, with a humble heart, recognizing that we are not capable of doing it on our own, you'll give us what we need every time. You'll lead us, you'll guide us, you'll direct us, you'll provide for us, you'll protect us. You'll do everything you need to lead us down a path toward the good that you intend for us. Lord, we are free. But we need to learn how to walk in that freedom more and more. And your word is very clear. The only way to do that is through obedience to you. And so I pray for all of us. In whatever area, if there's an area in our lives where we're still clinging to the prison of sin that we were delivered from, if we've got things we're still holding on to, Lord God, that you'd reveal that to us and that you'd help us to let go and trust you in those things and to walk in faith-filled obedience to you. Lord, I pray for any, Lord, I know there are some that are struggling with big things here today. And so I pray for a touch of your Holy Spirit, that you administer strength and peace and joy and hope to those people. But Lord, more than anything else, our heart should ache to walk more closely with you. And so I pray, Lord, that you would give each of us a sense of desire and passion for that very thing, that we would take each day as an opportunity to walk with you more closely. And through the work that you're doing in the Holy Spirit, built upon the truth of the Word of God, that every day we learn a little bit more what it means to be free in Christ. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace. And as we walk out of this place, we do so knowing that we're walking with you. We love you, Lord. We praise you. And we give all these things today to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us as we grow together through the series Romans, the Gospel of God. It's our hope that these messages will help you to grow in your faith. If you have questions or there's anything we can do to help you with that, do not hesitate to connect with us. You can go to calvaryfv.com/connect to find all the ways you can connect with us. As Christians, we are all connected in Christ, and one of the ways that we would like to connect with you is in prayer. So please, let us know how we can be praying for you. Send us an email to prayer@calvaryfv.com or text the word PRAY to 951-419-5396. If this teaching has been useful to you, please share it with someone. Also, pray that God would use these messages to help others grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. You can also partner with us financially by going to calvaryfv.com/give or text the word give to 951-419-5396. Until next time, go be radical with Jesus.